Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning our Bible again to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. I began on yesterday a series of messages on the subject of prayer. As we study, I pray the Holy Ghost will not only teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray as it's taught in the Word of God. We looked on yesterday, first of all, at several things that prayer would do in the life of God's people. I said to you, prayer is a sin killer. Prayer is a life changer. Prayer is a victory giver. Prayer is a holiness promoter. Prayer is a dispute settler. Prayer is an obstacle remover. Prayer is a Christ revealer. Prayer is a revival bringer. And prayer is a church builder. Also said to you that prayer will open the windows of heaven. Prayer will bar the gates of hell. Prayer will shut the mouth of the gainsayers. Prayer will loose the chains of sin. Prayer will bind the forces of evil. Prayer will supply our every need. And prayer will open doors of opportunity for the people of God. And we started looking in Matthew chapter number 6 on yesterday at verse number 5. And we looked first of all at the purpose of our praying. In verse number 5, he teaches us not to pray as a hypocrite prayed. And then in verse number 7, he teaches us how the heathen pray and tells us again not to pray as the heathen pray. And we notice in verse number 5, he talks about the hypocrite pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the streets. Their purpose was that they may be seen of men. And then he talks about in the heathen in verse number 7, how that they pray with vain repetition in order that they may be heard of men. And so the negative aspect of the purpose of our praying is that we are not to pray to be seen of men, and we're not to pray to be heard of men. And again, I remind you in verse number 5, he does not condemn the place they're praying. There's nothing wrong with praying in the synagogue or on the street corner, but God is condemning their purpose. They were praying to be seen of men. And then in verse number 7, we learn that they prayed to be heard of men. But our praying is wrong when we pray to be heard of men. So we recognize the purpose of praying is not to be seen of men and heard of men. But in verse number 6, we learn the real purpose of praying. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut thy door. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, our praying is not for the ears of man, and it's not for the eyes of man, but it's for the ears of God and for the eyes of God. And when we pray as God wants us to, then we have that blessed assurance that God sees us in our prayer closet, and that God hears us as we pray in the secret place. What verse number 6 is saying in one sense is, God said, "You meet me in the secret place and ask for it. I will meet you in the public place and answer it." If you will meet me in the closet and ask your petition there, then I'll meet you over the church and answer your prayer request that you have made in the secret place. So the purpose of praying is not to be seen of man. It's not to be heard of man, but it's to be seen and heard of God. Then I want you to notice the second thing. Not only there is the purpose, but there's the place. Notice verse number 6 again. And here I feel is a very important part of our study. The Bible said in verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest." Now I do want you to notice God did not say if you pray, but when you pray. You see, God knows that every saved person prays. They have a life of prayer. They have the Holy Spirit living inside them, and He will call home and call upon the Heavenly Father. And so He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now, He's not talking about just a closet where you would hang clothes, but He is talking about every saved person ought to have a place of prayer. Now, my friend, I'm aware of the fact you can pray anywhere. You can pray on your job. You can pray driving in your automobile. You can pray as you go about doing the things that you do around the house. But my friend, there ought to be a personal place where you come apart from everything else and you come into the presence of God. Down through the years, I've known many people that had a life of prayer. And I've known many different places that people pray. And I'm not going into them now. But I'm just simply saying that you need a place which you recognize as your prayer closet, your secret place, where you get alone with God and get into the Holy of Holies with God Almighty. So we see there is the purpose of prayer. It's not to be seen of man. It is not to be heard of man, but it's to be seen of God and heard of God. There is a place of prayer. Let me encourage you. If you do not have your own personal, private place to pray, then make you one. It can be in the bedroom. It can be in the bathroom. It can be down behind the house somewhere, anywhere. But somewhere, build you a personal altar and make that your place of prayer and enter into that place frequently and commune with God, and God will commune with you. But I want to notice the third thing. Not only there is the purpose of prayer and there is the place of prayer, but then in verse number 9 down through verse number 13, there is the pattern of praying. And much could be said about this, and please hear me. I am not suggesting that you've got to make your prayer so formal that you rule out the Holy Ghost directing you and leading you in your prayer life and literally praying through you and enabling you to pray and make an intercession through you to God the Father. But the Lord lays out here in verse number 9, 10, and 11 what is often called the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is not the Lord's Prayer. One statement would settle that. The Lord never had to pray for forgiveness, as this prayer teaches in verse number 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Lord never had to pray that prayer. This is the model prayer that the Lord teaches His disciples to pray. According to Luke's gospel, on this same occasion, they had said to the Lord, "Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray." So in verse number 9, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now there we have a pattern for our praying. Could I break it down into three categories and just build upon them briefly today? Notice, first of all, prayer is approaching God. And how you approach God will greatly determine how God answers your prayer. You do not just rush in with an arrogant spirit demanding of God and commanding God. No. You approach God with humility. You approach God with honesty. You approach God with a prayer from your heart. But he said, as you pray, you approach God, our Father, which art in heaven. You honor him. Then he said, hallowed be thy name. You worship him. Hallowed means separated, sanctified, set apart. And so as we pray, we approach God with humility. We approach God with honor. And we approach God from the heart. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There is recognition of who God is and how holy his name is. And then as you approach God, he said in verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. As we approach God, not only there must be the proper recognition, but there must also be the personal resignation. We resign our will to accept God's will. When I come to God, I don't come to God to get God on my side. I come to God to allow God to work in my own heart and bring me in submission to his will and his way in my life. So it's approaching God. And I must approach God with humility. I must approach God with honor. And I must approach God resigning my will to receive his will. So he said to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But not only prayer is approaching God, but prayer is asking God. In verse number 11, he starts asking. He said, give us this day our daily bread. I believe that to include all of our daily necessities. He prayed, give us. And then in verse number 12, he prayed, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then in verse number 13, he prayed, lead us not into temptation. And then he prayed, deliver us from evil. So he asked God four areas here. He said, give us. Then he said, forgive us. And then he said, lead us. And then he said, deliver us. Those four petitions are there. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. Lives have been blessed. We've had a report of one dear lady being saved by listening to the broadcast. And God has blessed us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not.